This is Dick Clark.
This is Gloria Estefan from Miami Sound Machine.
Happy holidays from all of us at Nick at Night.
I'm Billy Squire. On behalf of myself and everyone here at MTV, I'd like to wish you all a happy holiday season and a terrific new year.
This is Judy Collins. You're listening to the Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. As we inch up on the last day of the year, I think many of us find we can identify with Billy Crystal's comments about Auld Lang Syne near the end of the movie When Harry Met Sally.
What does this song mean? My whole life, I don't know what this song means. I mean, should old acquaintance be forgot? Does that mean that we should forget old acquaintances? It doesn't mean that if we happen to forget them, we should remember them, which is not possible because we already forgot them.
I've thought that, or something similar, more than once since that movie came out. Yes, I have talked about this before, but this is not a rerun, and if you stick with it, you'll see why in just a couple minutes. Auld Lang Syne comes from a Scottish poem by Robert Burns, written in 1788. The poem's Scots title has been translated as Old Long Since, or less literally, Long, Long Ago, Days Gone By, Times Long Past, or Old Times. For Auld Lang Syne, as it appears in the first line of the chorus, might be loosely translated as For the Sake of Old Times. While Burns is given credit for Auld Lang Syne, the phrase actually appears in works predating his poem by at least 100 years. As far as I can tell, Burns never tried to take credit for it. Robert Burns sent a copy of the original song to the Scots Musical Museum in 1788 with the remark, "The following song, an old song of the olden times, and which has never been in print, nor even in manuscript, until I took it down from an old man." The first recording of the song was made on wax cylinder in 1898 by the Englishmen Charles Samuel Myers and Alfred Court Hayden, who sang it in a demonstration of the new technology while on an expedition to record Aboriginal Australian music. The original 1898 recording can be heard online via the British Library Sound Archive website. Unfortunately, as of the recording of this podcast, that site is not currently available. Otherwise, I'd post a link for it in the show notes or maybe even a short clip of it here. So how did this centuries-old song become a modern tradition? Charles Dickens referenced Auld Lang Syne in David Copperfield. It was sung by British and German soldiers during the Christmas truce of 1914 as they swapped food and gifts during the early stages of World War I. On New Year's Eve 1929, Guy Lombardo signed off CBS just before midnight and on to NBC just after. To bridge the gap, he used the old tune that he had learned back home, Auld Lang Syne. It became part of their routine year after year, and as radio begot television, Guy Lombardo and Auld Lang Syne became a part of the New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square, a tradition Guy continued for almost 50 years. It also provides the soundtrack for the end of the 1946 seasonal classic, It's a Wonderful Life, which I imagine most who listen to a podcast like this probably already know. The first commercial recording, according to secondhand songs, was by Emil Berliner in 1890. Since then, nearly 1,000 versions have been recorded, including versions by Bing Crosby, Joe Stafford, Mitch Miller, The Platters, The Beach Boys, Freddie and the Dreamers, Big Country, Slade, The Stylistics, Lou Rawls, Cliff Richard, Billy Joel, Reliant K, Chris Isaak, Bare Naked Ladies, James Taylor, Billy Idol, The Smithereens, Juice Newton, Straight No Chaser, Mariah Carey, Susan Boyle, Donnie Iris, Colby Calais, Rod Stewart, Leanne Rimes, Patti Smith, Alabama, Ingrid Michaelson, The Old 97s, Home Free, Idina Menzel, Leslie Odom Jr., Pentatonix, Steve Perry, Johnny Mathis, Jennifer Hudson, The Hound and the Fox, and Celtic Woman. In 1999, an instrumental rendition by Kenny G reached number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 upon release as a single. At the time of charting, it was the oldest written song to make the Hot 100 charts. And as far as I know, that's a record that remains unbroken today. This song does invite a period to pause and reflect, and I thought in doing so, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention some of the artists that we lost this past year, at least the ones with connections to Christmas music. 2025 began with the loss of Wayne Osman on January 1st. Wayne has been a part of several Christmas-themed releases with the Osman Brothers, including their 2018 release, A Very Merry Rockin' Good Christmas. Folk singer Peter Yarrow, probably most well known as part of the trio Peter, Paul, and Mary, died near the end of the first week in January. The trio released a couple Christmas-related tracks on their album Peter, Paul, and Mommy in 1968 and the album A Holiday Celebration with the New York Choral Society nearly 20 years later. Sam Moore passed away a few days after that, probably most well known as part of the duo Sam and Dave. Sam contributed a couple solo Christmas songs to the 1980s compilation Christmas Soul Special. Rock star Garth Hudson, most well known as a multi-instrumentalist with The Band, died in the second half of January. The band released the single Christmas Must Be Tonight, which has recently been covered by Train, Luke McMaster, My Morning Jacket, Darlene Love, and this past season, Kate Hudson, who, as far as I know, is of no relation to Garth. Marianne Faithfull passed away near the end of January, and as far as I could tell, her only Christmas-related release was a version of I Saw Three Ships she performed with the Chieftains for their album The Bells of Dublin. The original lead singer of The Impressions, Jerry Butler, died in the latter half of February. Jerry released a single of Silent Night and Oh Holy Night on the flip side in 1960. Roberta Flack passed away during the last week of February. She released her Christmas album, simply called The Christmas Album, in 1997. David Johansen, the frontman for the rock band The New York Dolls, died at the end of February. He released a Christmas single, a cover of Zat You Santa Claus, under the name Buster Poindexter. Jesse Colin Young, best known as the lead singer for the Youngbloods, passed away in the middle of March. Jesse released a couple Christmas singles over the years, both of which appeared on his 2008 album, Songs for Christmas. Clem Burke, drummer for Blondie, passed away in early April. The only Christmas music I know of is a cover of We Three Kings that Blondie released for fans in 2009. Mike Peters, the frontman for the band The Alarm, passed away near the end of April. The Alarm covered John Lennon's Happy Christmas, War is Over for their album Standards in 1990. Legendary blues guitarist Joe Louis Walker also died at the end of April. Joe wrote the song Christmas Comes But Once a Year and also appears on the 2020 album Blue Christmas, Christmas Blues Instrumentals, and on William Shatner's 2018 Christmas album Shatner Claus. Atlantic Star keyboardist Wayne Lewis passed away during the first week of June. I believe he was still part of the band when they recorded a version of Silver Bells for Home Alone 2 in 1992. Funk and soul legend Sly Stone died about a week later. Sly released a single of Santa Claus is Coming to Town a couple years ago, and it was labeled as the 2023 mix, but I haven't come across any other versions of that song that he released. Beach Boys founder Brian Wilson passed away in mid-June. In addition to the Beach Boys' Christmas music, Brian also released a solo Christmas album, What I Really Want for Christmas, in 2005. Singer Connie Francis died around the middle of July. Her Christmas album, Christmas in Our Heart, was re-released this past fall with several previously unreleased Christmas songs. Musical satirist Tom Lehrer passed away near the end of July. His song, A Christmas Carol, which hasn't been covered much, was performed by Daniel Radcliffe on Broadway's Carols for a Cure compilation in 2011. Jazz singer Nancy King died during the first week of August. Near as I can tell, her only Christmas release was a version of Winter Wonderland that she recorded with the Ray Brown Trio for their Christmas album in 1998. Mark Volman, founding member of the Turtles, passed away the first week of September. Under the name Christmas Spirit, he released, or at least was part of, the single Christmas Is My Time of Year. Also, as part of the Turtles, he released the song Santa and the Sidewalk Surfer. Moody Blues bassist John Lodge died in early October. With the group, he recorded a version of What Child Is This in the 1970s and was part of their only Christmas album, December, which was released in 2003. Legendary guitarist Steve Cropper passed away in early December. As part of Booker T and the MGs, Steve was on their Christmas album In the Christmas Spirit, released in 1966. While not credited, he was probably on Otis Redding's Christmas singles, White Christmas and Merry Christmas Baby. He also recorded Rockin' and Rollin' on Christmas Day with Chicago for their third Christmas album in 2011. And he recorded his own Christmas single, Let's Make Christmas Merry, Baby, for the Blues Christmas compilation in 2015. Raoul Mallow, leader of the Mavericks, also passed away in early December. He was part of their Christmas album, Hey Merry Christmas, which came out in 2018. And he released a solo Christmas album, Marshmallow World and Other Holiday Favorites, in 2007. Rock singer Chris Rea died just a few days before Christmas. This fall, he released a collection called The Christmas Album, which collected tracks and singles he recorded over the years. Of course, his most well-known Christmas song is Driving Home for Christmas, which he's recorded several times since it was originally released in 1986. Okay, I know that's probably not a complete list of artists with connections to Christmas music, and my sincerest apologies to anyone connected to or just a fan of someone that I left off this list. That's always the danger of making a list like this, and I'm sorry if I left off someone you care about. I promise you, it was not intentional. Now it's time to stop reflecting and to start looking ahead. The Sounds of Christmas Station is wrapping up its 19th season, and the Sounds of Christmas podcast is nearing the end of its fifth year and approaching 300 episodes. So what's in store for the Sounds of Christmas for the year to come? For this podcast, I'll continue posting episodes year-round. The frequency of new episodes will ease up a little bit now, going back to a similar schedule as last year at this time. I'll try to get at least one new one posted every Monday, but there may be a week or two where that just doesn't happen. I do have a wish list of people I'd like to have on as guests, including a lot of artists who have advertised on the Sounds of Christmas Station over the years, but haven't necessarily released any new Christmas music lately. I'd like to check in with them and see what they're up to, talk about the Christmas music they did release, and, knowing me, probably ask them about making some new Christmas music too. There are also a few artists I wasn't able to have on this season, mostly due to scheduling issues, and I'm hoping that they will still come on sometime in the next month or so. And I have a couple surprises in store, at least I hope I do, with some people I've been working on scheduling for the next month or two. But I don't have anything set yet, so I can't reveal anything at this point. And I don't mean to tease you, I just want you to know that I am working on some things I think you'll like. The Sounds of Christmas Station will continue on, playing the best variety of Christmas music, commercial-free, through the end of September. Then, once again, I'll switch things over for October, and we'll be playing the best variety of Halloween music. And then, on November 1st, 2026, a brand new season of The Sounds of Christmas will begin. Our 20th season. Can you believe it? Between now and October, I'll do what I can to keep things fresh, including adding a bunch of songs that I didn't get around to playing this past season. Some I just didn't find in time, some were released that last week leading up to Christmas, and some I just wasn't able to fit in. I'm recording this on New Year's Eve Eve, and I noticed that we still have people listening all over the United States and in at least 70 other countries. And while it's nice to see, I know full well it probably won't stay like that, and really, that's fine. I do get that for most people, Christmas music starts to end shortly after Christmas Day. As for this podcast, earlier this month, I crossed the 500,000 stream and download mark. And I don't mention that to brag. It's more out of surprise and gratitude, which is the same feeling I have seeing all those who are listening to the station tonight. I didn't start doing any of this for the numbers, and I really hope it doesn't sound like that's the case. In fact, I fully expect the numbers on both the station and this podcast to drop significantly over the next week, with neither really going up much again until next fall. And that's also fine. My only hope is that at some point during the next year, when you feel like you could use a little Christmas spirit, that you remember that we're still on, and you can listen anytime. And if you love Christmas music enough that you want to hear me and my guests talk about it, I hope you remember this podcast is still chugging along. And if you followed or subscribed on whatever podcast service you use, all our new episodes will be there waiting for you when you feel like checking in. Thanks so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. I hope 2026 is your best year yet, and I hope you always believe in Santa Claus.